Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balava Giritara Dhari. Gopi Jana Balava Giritara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Ju Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Samveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namini Namaste, Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharini, Nivasi Srinvari, Paschatya Deshatarini. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12, text number 40. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today is also the 100th anniversary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's taking sannyas. I was asked to speak mainly on that subject. Anyway, we read the purport and verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 8, Chapter 12, text number 40. Sheyam guna... Sheyam guna mayi maya na tvam abhihavishyati maya Sammeta Kalina Kala Rupina Bhagasa Seyam Guna Mayi Maya Natvam Hapi Bhavishati Maya Sammeta Kalina Phalarupena Bhagasha Sheyam Gunamayi Maya Natvamabhi Bhavishati Maya Sameta Kalina Phalarupena Bhagasha. Sayam guna mayi maya Nathva mabhi kushati Maya Kala rupi ni bhagasha Vibhashti Maya Sameta Kalina Kala Rupini Bhagasa Natvama Vibhavishyati Maya Samina Kalina Kala rupina bhagasa Natvama bibhishyati Maya sameta kalina Kala rupina bhagasa Seyam guna mahi maya Natva mabhivashyate Maya sameta kalena Kala rupena bhagasam Seyam guna mahi maya Natva mabhivashyate Maya sameta kalena Kala rupena bhagasha Seyam guna mahi Natvama vibhavishyate Maya sameta kalena Kala rupena bhagasha Sa, that insurmountable Iyam, this, gunamayi, consisting of the three modes of material nature. Maya, illusory energy. Na, not. Tvam, you. Abhi bhavishyati, will be able to bewilder in the future. Maya, with me, Sameta, joined, Kalina, eternal time, Kalarupina, in the form of time, Bhagasha, with her different parts. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, the Boy Charanada in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The material energy, external energy, Maya, who cooperates with me in the creation and who is manifested in the three modes of nature, will not be able to bewilder you any longer. Please repeat. The material external energy, Maya, who cooperates with me in creation and who is manifested in the three modes of nature will not be able to bewilder you any longer. Purport. By His Divine Grace, the Bhoj Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. When Lord Shiva was present, his wife Durga was also there. Durga works in cooperation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in creating this cosmic manifestation. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Mayadyakshina prakriti suyate shuracharam. The material energy, prakriti, works under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. Prakriti is Durga. Srishti, Srishti, Pralaya, Shatana, Shaktir, Eka, Chaiva, Yasha, Biborti, Bhavanani, Biborti, Durga. The entire cosmos is created by Durga in cooperation with Vishnu in the form of time, kala. Sha ikshata lokandu srija shoimal lokan asrijata. This is the version of the Vedas, Aitariya Upanishadam 1.1.1.2. Maya happens to be the wife of Lord Shiva, and thus Lord Shiva, is in association with Maya, but Lord Vishnu here assures Lord Shiva that this Maya will no longer be able to captivate him. So, here you're talking about the Shiva Shakti, Shiva Tattva. It's very difficult to understand Shiva Tattva. And this is the reason, because is he Vishnu or is he not Vishnu? Is he a Jiva? Because he's accepted as an incarnation of Tamagun, a Vishnu Tattva. But he deals with the material destruction of the material universe. So it's difficult to understand. So the example given in Brahma Samhita is that it's like yogurt. Just as milk is transformed into curds by the action of acids, and yet the effect curds is neither the same nor different from the cause, milk. So I adore the primary Lord Govinda, whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So yogurt is nothing but milk. It's milk, you add some little acid to it, it becomes yogurt. It's non-different, but then again it's not the same, you can't say it is milk. So this is Lord Shiva's position. To touch the material energy, Krishna, when he touches the material energy, he doesn't touch the material energy, but when he has to touch it, he does so in the form of Lord Shiva. Just like when Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says all living entities, they take birth in this prakriti, and I am the seed-giving father. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield. I am the seed-giving father. But Krishna, he doesn't touch the material energy. So how he can be the seed-giving father? So when Krishna is saying that, I am the seed-giving father, it means I am the seed-giving father in the form of Lord Shiva. So Godhead transforms himself into yogurt so he can touch the material world. because Krishna never touches directly. So when he has to touch, he does so in the form of Lord Shiva. So there's no difference between Shiva and Krishna. It's not a separate Godhead. But he is a servitor of Godhead. So therefore, Shiva Tattva is very difficult to understand. And so here is the in the purport of this Brahma Samhita Shloka, said the real nature of Shambhu, the predominating deity of Mahesha Dharma, is described. Shambhu is not a second Godhead other than Krishna. Those who entertain such discriminating sentiment commit great offences against the Lord, the Supreme Lord. They think that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They think that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they should understand his position. The supremacy of Shambhu is subservient to that of Govinda, hence they are not really different from each other. The non-distinction is established by the fact that just as milk treated with curds turns into curds, so the Godhead becomes subservient when he himself attains a distinct personality by the addition of a particular element of adulteration. His personality has no independent initiative. No independent initiative. So he's not acting as an independent Godhead. He has no independent initiative. That's in the first creation, that's done by Shiva, Shambhu. Along with Devi, the glance comes into the material energy, transforms into Shambhu. Shambhu and Mahamaya, or Yogamaya, comes and transforms as Mahamaya, the Durga. So then the combination of both of those, then that's the first creation, then the whole secondary creation begins. So Lord Shiva is there right in the beginning of creation. So he's not, as it says, doesn't have independent initiative. Why he's creating, Lord Shiva is creating with Durga, why? Why are they doing this? And the answer is, because it is the will of Vishnu. Vishnu desires the creation to manifest so he can liberate all the souls. They come out again with the breath of Vishnu. He desires that. So Lord Shiva, he has no separate desires or a separate initiative than to serve the Lord's Govinda's desires. So this is his position. He's serving Govinda's desires. It's not his own. He doesn't have his own program. So in this way we can understand there are three creators in this world. People are asking who is it. And generally you think there would only be one. But so there is Shiva, there is Parvati, like the mother and father. And then the will of Vishnu behind it. So then these three become the creators of this world. So the Godhead Krishna himself, he adulterates himself with this curd, with acid to make. So what is that adulteration it mentions here? The said adulterating principle is constituted of a combination of the stupefying quality of the deluding energy. The stupefying potency. Okay, part of that. And the non-plentitude of the marginal potency. We are marginal potency and non-plentitude. We don't have enough knowledge. So many things we are lacking, right? The jiva. We cannot do as we like. We cannot. So non-plentitude, we're always in need. So that is also part. And the third part is a slight degree of the ecstatic cum cognitive principle of the plenary spiritual potencies. There's also some transcendence there. That is a little bit of the chit potency and the Hladini potency. Otherwise, how could get excited without that bit of pleasure potency is there? So the deluding potency, the non-plentitude potency, and the a little bit of ecstatic potency. Otherwise, you won't be inspired to create. So it has to have some enthusiasm has to be there. So a little bit of spiritual. So anyway, those threes, they adulterate Krishna. He adulterates himself with these three, and then he becomes Shiva. So he's not different than Krishna. He's a transformation of Govinda. Govinda himself transforms himself. So it's not a separate Godhead, personality of Godhead. So in the same way that we've been talking about Mohini Murti, she's a similar situation here with Shiva and Mohini Murti. Because Mohini Murti is also a transformation of Krishna. She's not his external energy or his internal energy even. But, I mean, he acts with his internal energy. But it's Krishna himself. It's Krishna himself. He transforms into Mohini Murti. It's not done separately. So similarly, the Shiva, the same kind of tattva is there. They're involved in this leela together here. Shiva's chasing after Mohini Murti. But actually, they're the same kind of tattva. Yeah, they're both transformations of Krishna. They are Krishna directly, but they're transformations of Krishna. So like that, this is Shiva is... This that Shiva becomes... He's our Sanatana Goswami. He becomes our Sambandracharya. He gives us our relationship with Krishna. He helps us to connect our relationship with Krishna. Lord Shiva is our Sambandracharya also. But he connects us to Maya. But they have the same principle. They're both Sambandracharyas. One gives you a relationship with Maya, and the other one gives you a relationship with... And you'll notice that it's the same tattva. They have the same tattva there. You notice any famous... or any place where Sanatana Goswami was doing his bhajan, then there was Shiva was there. So they're kind of friends. They're in Gopeshwar and a few temples. You see always Lord Shiva is there. Okay. So today is the celebrated as the day that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur adopted the sannyas ashram. Perhaps we should chant his pranam before we start.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Sri Vashavana Devi Dayitaya Kripa Pare Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhujo Dvala Premadya Sri Rupa Noga Bhaktida Sri Gora Corona Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate Namaste Gauravani
Srimurtaye dinatayane rupanuga virudhapasitanta dvanta harine. I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Varshabhanabi Devi Dayatidasi, another name of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is favored by Srimati Radharani, who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and a deliverer of the science of Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, who delivered devotional service which is enriched with the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So he would not tolerate any deviation from the parampara, from the guru parampara, especially from outlined in Rupa Goswami. And this was a big struggle, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a big struggle to establish the proper Siddhanta. And he had so many enemies, actually. Prabhupada said that when you become come to spiritual life, you get your enemies. But these were, because he was such an acharya and such an outspoken person, that he was threatening the livelihood of smarter brahmanas and things like that, who were making business on spiritual life and having temples and becoming gurus and disciples, and he was exposing all this. And so all those different upper sampradayas, when he went to Bangladesh to preach, it was great. The Bangladeshis, they're such nice devotees, they love kirtan, but the problem was there were so many sahajiyas there, groups there in Bangladesh. Owls, Bows, Adibekar, all these different upper sampradayas or non-bona fide devotees of sorts. And everybody, wherever he went, he was so powerfully speaking, they thought, we're going to lose our disciples and things like that. And so they would preach to their congregation, you don't go and hear this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he's breaking the traditions, he's not following anything like that. And so like that, this is what he had to deal with. So everywhere practically he went, he caused a fire. In Jagannath Puri, he was preaching so strongly. There was one, Ram Charan Das Babaji, who had a bogus mantra. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta also preached to him directly also. He said, what can I do? They are chanting the mantra now. He had nothing to say. He could not philosophically defend himself or anything. So anyway, Bhaktisiddhanta, he was preaching so ferociously. And this Ramcharan Das Babaji was very, very popular. And so it caused a great fire. Jagannath Puri was on fire. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you better leave Puri. Go Mayapur and develop Mayapur. You're upsetting. Everyone's getting upset. So like that everywhere. In Calcutta he made his headquarters, and there he had all kinds of opposition. Ramakrishna was very strong at that time. He's just coming in. There was intellectually, the Bengalis had intellectual group, Brahmos. It was called the Brahmos. It was the Khitri, a bit of Brahman and a bit of Christianity mixed up, because Calcutta was under the, it was a British Raj then. They were very powerful. And so it was a kind of a little bit of hodgepodge, Khitri mixed up. Ah. Then you had all the other things to deal with. Then you had the Chandra Bose, the freedom fighter. He came to Bhaktisiddhanta. He said, "What do you got all these men? Now is the hour of need. We need men to fight the war and get everyone out." So he was a very, very powerful personality. So Bhaktisiddhanta was so clever. And actually, he didn't bother to debate with him or challenge. He said, "Look at my men. They're all skinny. But how can they fight? They're skinny. Let them just sit down and chant some Hare Krishna and eat some rice and dal." And this way he kind of avoided him when he came to collect his men. Anyway, so many difficulties were there. So we see even the acharyas, the acharyas undergo more difficulty than we do. We think we're having a bad time. But if we study the lives of the acharyas, and Prabhupada's struggle, Pandava's struggle, we don't even compare to it. But we think our problems are really, really, they're everything, it's a whole life. But this is his preaching. So he took sannyas for this purpose, for preaching. And he told all the disciples after that, whenever he gave sannyas, "The sannyas I'm giving is for preaching." Prabhupada also used that same terminology when he was giving sannyas. So this was happening today. That time was on Gopanima, the day that he took sannyas. They're observing today, the Titi is today. So anyway, it was during the Gopanima festival in 1918. So now it's 1928, it's 100 years ago. And then he took sannyas at Brajapatan. Brajapatan is, you know, Chaitanya Math, you have near Radhakund side, you have an exhibition there. Anyway, down by that by the gate there, where you go in and out of the second gate. They had a temple there. Now it's not. There's nothing there. But there, anyway, that actually the whole area they call Brajapatan. Brajapatan means a village in Braja. So that's where Bhaktisiddhanta was doing his austerities there. He had a tin roof shed where he would sit, and he had making a vow to chant 1 billion names of Hare Krishna. And he was sitting under the tin shed. That was it. The tin shed had holes in it. In the rainy season, the rain would come. So he would just hold his umbrella up and continue his bhajan. So he was... Yeah, he was doing that... doing his bhajan there on... Yeah, and it says that the previous to that day, he was chanting incessantly throughout the whole day. He was chanting he put his cloth over his head to shut himself off from everything. And he was, Hare Krishna, the whole day he was very vigorously. And then the next day he took sannyas, because he didn't find anyone he thought worthy that could give him sannyas. So he took a sannyas from a picture of his Guru Maharaj, Gurkishore Das Babaji. He put a picture there, and he sat opposite with a tree danda. He got a tree danda, and then he actually took initiation from the picture of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurkishore Das Babaji, who had already left his body. There's history in his life story, how when he was in South India, Madhava Sampradaya or the Ramanuja Sampradaya, but specifically he inquired very deeply about sannyas and the rituals of sannyas. Probably the Madhava Sampradaya, because we're coming in the Madhava Sampradaya. So he inquired extensively about the rituals of taking sannyas. So he's taking sannyas according to the Madhava. Like bona fide. So his age at that time was 44 years. Quite young man. And then the same day he established the Chaitanya Math with the deities of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Radha Gandhava Giridhari. These were said to be his favorite deities. Lots of his deities actually were named Radha Gandhava Giridhari. But these ones at the Chaitanya Math, they have kind of a special pastime with him. Because when they were establishing the Math there, the Chaitanya Math, so they wanted some deities, so they went to Jaipur. Jaipur is the place where they make the marble deities. So he went there to buy a deity, and then the shopkeeper came in. He said, this is your deity here. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura Prabhupada said, how do you know I want a deity? And how do you know that is my deity? And he said, now last night I had a dream. And one Mahapurush, no, the deities, they said to him, tomorrow one Mahapurush is coming and I want to accept his savor. Now by seeing you I can understand you are that same Mahapurusha. So you please, you take the deity. And he actually donated those deities of Radha Gandhava Giridhari. Very beautiful deities. Yeah, the Chaitanya Math.
That's Yoga Pit?
No. Behind Yoga Srivasangam, then behind that is Balaldigi. There's Pritukun, that side. So then he took sannyas, and after some time he went out preaching. He made his center in Calcutta because that's where the people were. Even though his Guru Maharaj forbade him to go to Calcutta, he said, this is the realm of Kali. Don't go there. Don't go. But that was the first place he went. So people were asking, how come it appears you're disobeying your Guru Maharaj's instruction. But he said, no. He said, because when I go there, I'm just simply preaching about Mayapur and Gauranga. I'm not in Calcutta. I'm in Mayapur. I never leave Mayapur. I bring Mayapur with me. So then he began his mission in Calcutta and started preaching extensively and traveling extensively with his disciples, training his disciples. Before that, he was living at the Chaitanya Math, just doing his bhajan, completing his vow of 1 billion names. And so he was sitting in that area, Brajapatana, the village of Braja. And you've been there to that place. You see Radha Kund is there, Shama Kund is there, and Govardhan Hill also. So I asked one of his godbrothers, Damodar Maharaj, he was a pujari there at the Jogpit for many years. He was a young boy when he came. And I asked him, Maharaj, that how come you got the Shyam Kunda, Radha Kunda here? Because that place is that's the central island, Antadweep. Shimayapur Dham is a central island. According to the Nabadweep Dham Mahapmiya, then Radha Kunda is situated in Ritudweep. Ritudweep is the other side of the Ganga. When we go to Champahati side, Ritudweep. That's where Radha Kund is. When we go past on the Prikram, there's a place out in the fields there. And there's some, it's been identified as Radha Kund. And Govardhan Hill is in Koladweepa, the present day Nabadweep town. It's called Koladweep. That's Govardhan. So why have you got Radha Kund and Sham Kund and Govardhan here in Antadweepa? So then he explained that now our Guru Maharaj, this is where he was doing his bhajan. And because of the intensity of his bhajan, then his bhajanasthana manifested here. He said he has an eternal place of bhajan on the banks of Radhakund. Eternal place where he is. And he's that's where his bhajan is. So that bhajanasthana manifested here in Sri Dhammayapur and Brajman on different ends. But it manifests his bhajanasthana. Where he was doing his bhajan, that became manifested here also. So simultaneously, Radhakund is there and here in Sri Dhammayapur, Antadvip, and Govardhan. He said, "We asked Guru Maharaj. He told us that here is Shyamakund, here is Radhakund. You can see?" They said, no, we cannot see. The disciples said, can we build the Shyamakund? Can we excavate the ponds and build the Govardhan Hill? He said, yes. Okay. So when you go there now, you'll see those Radhakund Shyamakund that was built under his sanction by the disciples. So that place is no different than Radhakund and Shyamakund and Govardhan. So he was actually living there like an avaduta at that time. He would do chatamasya, he would grow long hair, dreadlock, matted hair. He wouldn't bother. Eat the habisham, rice and mug dal, no spice. Put your hands behind your back, put the rice, everything on the floor, then you go down and you eat. When you come back up again, that's it for the day. You don't go back down again. So whatever you eat in one day, that's it. That was his during Chaturmasya Vrata. Very, very strict. Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj was very strict. I cannot do these things. But my Guru Maharaj, he was... So... We first had 9 bigas of land here, the first plot of land, 3 acres of land that Prabhupada acquired. And these were from the local Muslims that had this land. So they sold to Prabhupada where the conch building is, from there down to the road. That was the first plot of land. And so that was told the Muslims, Fakir Sheikh and Chaku, was it? Chaku, anyway. The two Muslims, they were nice, very friendly with us. They sold Prabhupada the land and they would talk to us, and we had to give them extra money because they had grown portals. Those portals was growing there. So for that crop, they took a bit of extra money. But anyway, I think you may have seen a picture of Jayapataka Maharaj behind the bullock. We had 2 bullocks, Jagai Madai. I don't know if you've seen that photograph. He's being trained. That's Chakul Sheikh, I think. He was training Jayapataka, how to drive the bull and how... Dain, dain, dain. You have different language, then you understand which go left, go right. So, anyway, he was telling us, because he said, when we were small boys, we saw Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because they were from Mayapur village, and Bhaktisiddhanta was living there in Mayapur. And they were saying he was such a person, you know, that we'll be in the village, or the village humdrum is going on, and the Matajis are there down by the water washing their cloths, and the little kids are running around looking after the goats, and you know, the men are doing some work somewhere, and you know, village life. And they said, you know, we were playing, we were little kids, and we'd be playing. And suddenly we noticed that, you know, first, like the grown-ups, Everybody becomes still. And then gradually everyone, the little kids, they become, they're aware something's happening. Everybody becomes still. And then they look over to the house where Bhakti Siddhanta, and he comes out. He's a very tall figure. He's on the veranda, he's just looking out. He said, but the whole village just came to a kind of a peaceful standstill by his presence, just by his presence. And then he would come out and he would rub their boy, little kids' heads, and give them some sweets sometimes. As he was telling, Chaku was telling us about. He's a very magnanimous character. One of his first disciples there when he was living here was a son of a barrister in, I'm not sure. Anyway, from maybe from Calcutta or Mount City. Educated man. And he came to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had heard about him, so he listened. He was very, very much impressed. And he asked some questions and he was very satisfied. And he was going to get initiation from his Kulu Guru, from his village guru. But they weren't bona fide, coming from a bona fide sampradaya. But because it was traditional, you take the village guru. So he was going to take, the next day he was going to take the initiation. So anyway, he came to see Bhaktisiddhanta, he was very satisfied, got to ask for his blessings, and then he went back. And that night he had a dream, and in his dream he saw his guru and his guru's wife. They were approaching him, and his guru assumed the form of a lion, and his guru's wife assumed the form of a tiger. And they were approaching Bhaktisiddhanta. Licking their lips. approaching the boy. He was having the dream, his dream. They approached him, the tiger and the tigress. Then all of a sudden Bhaktisiddhanta jumped out and he chased them away like that. So the boy woke up in the morning, wow, an astonishing dream. So he came back, immediately came to Mayapur. Said, you please give me initiation so I don't get swallowed up by these lions and tiger gurus, the bogus gurus of us. Drinking and drinking. So anyway, he was the first initiated disciple there. Then. So he was performing bhajan. There was one so-called devotee. He went to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he went to Kulia, Nabadweep, where Gokishodas Babaji was staying in Nabadweep, Rani Dharamshala one time, or some time. So this devotee went to see Gokisho and he said, I just went to see your disciple in Mayapur. But the bhajan he is performing, it's a little bit ritualistic. I'm more inclined to Raganuga Bhakti. But Bhaktisiddhanta is Vaikuntha mood, too much Vaikuntha mood there. It's not my liking. I want to stay by you, Guru Maharaj. Gokishore, I'll have some bhajan kutir and stay next to you because I know that you're on the Raganuga platform. So I'll stay with you. So Gokishodas Prabhupada, he said, it's a fact, he is a Vaikuntha man. Prabhupada said it also. He's a Vaikuntha. What can I say about him? He's a Vaikuntha man. So Gokishodas Prabhupada said, yes, he actually is a Vaikuntha man. He said, but he also has a place in Mayapur. He says, similarly, I have this place in Navadvipa. I also have a place in Mayapur. That people like you will never, never be able to understand. He said, you criticize Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta who are performing pure devotional service to Sri Dhammayapur at the joke pit, and you dare to criticize him. You will know, your bhajan will not know any fruit. Anyway, later on that person also fell away ungraciously. So that Vrindavan Mayapur are non-different. Those who have awakened their eternal relationship understand they have a place in Mayapur, they have a place in Vrindavan also. One time the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswataka, he left the mot. This was the middle of the night, midnight. He came coming down the road here. And his disciple, Bharat Maharaj, Brahmachari, he was following. He saw my guru. Where is Guru Maharaj going? Middle of the night. Where is he going? Walking down the road? It doesn't go anywhere. There's no one here. No one lives here. It's all jungle. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, okay, who is there following? He said, it's your disciple, Guru Maharaj, Bhagavat, Bharat Maharaj, Bharat Brahmachari. Okay, come with me. So they come here, right down here, down to Goswami Math, Maharaj Math, just past the big kitchen, Shulabh kitchen. Just past there, there's a big banyan tree over the road there. So that spot. Then from the opposite direction, they saw Prem Sankirtan was coming. Ecstatic Kirtan, all his devotees were coming. And got closer and closer. And then they saw Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was there. And they were all embracing, rolling on the floor. Symptoms of ecstasy were being exhibited. And his disciples said, who are they? Who are these people? He said, they came from Swetadvipa for darshan of Mahaprabhu, to visit the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. But they said, no, we come to hear from you. So you please give us some Gaurakatha. Bhaktisiddhanta Dasoshmi. He always said, Dasoshmi, I am your servant. No, we have heard your glories even in Swetadvipa. We want to hear from you. So then they came back to the Chaitanya Math and he spoke Gaurakatha until the sun started to get a little bit light. Then they all left again. Another time he was walking on the road here and so he stopped and he looked up and he said, how degraded this age of Kali Yuga. He said, even in Chandra Loka, they're becoming so degraded. And Damodar Maharaj was there, his disciple. He said, then I understood the meaning of Jagat Guru. Jagat Guru. He knew what was going on in other planets. Prabhupada said, we have Jagat Guru, they say Jagat Guru, he never leaves the village. Prabhupada said, at least I'm traveling all around the world. But here, Bhaktisiddhanta, he was seeing what was going on in other planets. And he a lot of his disciples, had the opinion that when he left here, he went to Chandraloka for preaching. He said he gave that indication he was going to Chandraloka. Prabhupada was giving a lecture here in Mayapur also, and he was talking about Nityalila. And what was I talking about? Chandraloka, yeah. That's right. That's right. So Prabhupada, he's talking about Nityalila. He said this. So he gave an example. He said this example is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. But just as the sun rises at 6 o'clock in the morning in the east, then midday it's overhead, and then 6 o'clock, it's on the western horizon. It's changed. But for someone else, somewhere else in the world, they will see that they're going to see. The sun is at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Wherever you are in the world, you look up, you see. Someone's looking up, the sun is overhead. Right now, the sun is overhead. It's 12 o'clock, midday. For someone else right now, the sun is setting in the west. For someone else right now, the sun is rising in the east. He said it's a material example, but this is Nityalila. It's constantly going on, appearing somewhere. He said, so my Guru Maharaj, like that, he said he came into this world with a mission to preach Krishna consciousness. And when that was accomplished, he went to another place to do exactly the same thing. He said, this is called Nityalila in Bhaktisiddhanta. Nityalila. So this... we had a flood in 1971. The water was coming up. Only two devotees were here. I think two, Chaitananda Maharaj and one or two. And they were living up in the rafters of the Bhajan Kutir. That was the only building there. So they were living in. The water was coming up. So they put some chet bamboo up there in the, on the rafters and the ceiling. They had a wok and some kerosene stove and some, I think they were making chapatis or something, or puris, sitting up there. Anyway, they couldn't stay there long because it was... But the when the water was coming up, Bhaktisiddhanta's road, there was a barrage. It formed a barrage, dike, bond. So the water didn't come. It was coming up and up and up, and it didn't come over the road into the. So Chaitananda wrote the letter to Prabhupada, and he said this road of Bhaktisiddhanta, it has saved our. It has saved us and our property. And Prabhupada wrote back, he said, yes, the path of Bhaktisiddhanta is saving millions and millions. this path was actually constructed by under the direction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is called Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Marg. That's the official name of the road. So he invited Sir John Anderson. Sir John Anderson was the governor of West Bengal, a big position. He was a British Raj. So he invited him to come to Mayapur, which is jungle. So he agreed to come. And so then Bhaktisiddhanta said to the Antrapradhan, the local leaders, you have to build a road for him. It's the British Raj. He's representing the king. You've got to have a road. So they rallied everybody up and they built this road there out of mud, but it was a raised road all the way to the... I think they did it in 1 or 2 days. So he got a road out of it. That was his preaching. He used everything for preaching. So... And another thing he got from that visit, he said you can establish a post office here, because in Nabadweep, they were saying that's... Actually, Mahaprabhu was born in Nabadweep, the other side of the river. Even today they're saying this. Still controversy is going on. We don't get involved with it. But, Oh yeah, so he got him to establish a post, the British Raj to establish a post office here. Mayapur sub post office by the Jogpit. So he used their influence to engage him in service and help the property. Now Bhaktisiddhanta, he told his disciples, when these British people come, you're going to have to give them their food, they eat meat. So he said, well, how we can do that, Guru Maharaj? He said, you go to Navadvip and you see the Kali Brahmanas and they sacrifice the goats there. So you can bring those Kali Brahmanas and then they can sacrifice their goats and they can cook it and then you can give to the British Raj. So that happened. Sir John Anderson actually didn't take he didn't take the meat. When they offered it to him, he said, well, what are you eating? And they said, well, we're only going to eat rice and diet. No, I'll eat that. I'll eat what you eat. But his entourage was there, so I think they ate the meat. So anyway, after that, it was a successful program. He got very favorable. So everybody left. Then the disciples came and said, Guru Maharaj, we're completely bewildered. What just happened? We can't understand that this is Brajapatan, it's the village in Braj, it's the house of Chandrachakracharyas. Right on this spot, they cooked the goat, and they served meat here. We're completely bewildered about what's happened. And there's some left over. And we don't know what to do. Shall we put in the Ganga? How we can do that? Ganga Devi is a pure devotee. Are we buried in the Dham? How we can do that? Dham Das is Chintamani. Guru Maharaj, you please explain. We're bewildered. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I also used to think like that. 100 births ago. But when I started this mission, I promised Lord Chaitanya, there's nothing I will stop at to push this movement on. Whatever it takes to push this, I will not hesitate to do for the pleasure of Mahaprabhu. So he wore brown patent leather shoes. Leather shoes to show the British Raj when he was holding. He would wear brown patent leather shoes. He had a Jaguar car. Fancy car. He used it for going preaching. Sometimes he would walk back. He said, we use the car for going. If we use it coming back, it may be sense gratification. So they went in the car and did their preaching and then came back walking. At the end of his his vrata here in Mayapur, He just completed that 1 billion names. It took him 9 years. Over 9 years. Then at that time, he writes in his biography that Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he was at the Jogpit, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu was coming from the eastern direction with all of his devotees. The Panchatattva were there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur were there, Goswamis were there. Gokishwar Das was there, they'd already left their bodies. But they all came in this Prema Samkirtan from the eastern side, he describes. And then they instructed him, now you should give up your austerities. Now you go out and preach. You don't worry for anything. Whenever you need money, we are here. We have unlimited resources. Whenever you need manpower, we are behind you. We have unlimited resources. As you need, we will supply. You don't worry about that. You just go out and preach fearlessly. That's all. You have us all behind you, the whole parampara. And he used to use this a lot in his preaching. He used to inspire his disciples. He frequently used to use this example. Just like Tribhikram, Lord Vamanadev, he's only this big, 5 years old. He sticks his foot through the universe, sticks his toe through the universe. If a 5 year old boy can do that, what can he not do? So you don't worry for anything. Look who's behind you. He is Krishna. How parampara is coming from Krishna. If the boy can stick his toe through the universe, why you should worry for anything? He is behind you. The whole parampara is there. Krishna is there. So he would inspire his disciples. Like that. Good instruction for ISKCON preachers. Mm-hmm. You don't worry for anything. Money will come as you need. You simply concentrate on preaching. And we saw how effective that was. It still is. People just absorb themselves in preaching and everything comes. Abhinanda said, Prabhupada, we're sitting in these rice fields here and you're asking us to build a huge temple in a city. Where will all the money come from? Prabhupada started laughing. He said, Abhavananda, he said, he's always thinking, where will money come from? He said, here you have Madhava. Madhava means the husband of the goddess of fortune. So just serve Madhava nicely, you won't worry for anything, everything. So he's saying it's happening. From that straw house to city, developing city. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki jai. 100th anniversary, Sannyas anniversary ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shambhaita Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Nithai go premanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you.